Good morning, family. Well, I hope everybody's having a great Mother's Day today. You know, it's been a very, very special day for me for more than the reason of having a great wife and enjoying Mother's Day because of that. But we got a great surprise this morning. So we have some friends with us from the Upland congregation. He's a deacon there. Lotus Woodmore and his family's with us. Lanisha and Dimitri, they're passing through. And so, boy, I'll tell you, it caused a special flutter to go in my heart when I saw them. So we're happy to see you guys here. Very special friends of ours. I'd encourage you this morning, if you'd like to follow along, to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 4. There are two very unique things taking place for me this morning. One is that this is the first time I can ever remember in my time of preaching that I've ever preached two sermons back to back that were out of the book of 2 Kings. Last week we did Naaman in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, and this morning we'll be looking at chapter 4, the story of the widow's oil. There's also a second reason that this particular day is of significance to me, because this will be the first time that I have celebrated Mother's Day without my mom. And so I'll have a special Mother's Day card. And when I get to heaven, I'll give her that card today when I get there, and for all the other Mother's Days that come. But it is a very special day for me, but I still get to hang on to wife, which is still mom as well. So anyway, thought I'd share that with you. But how appropriate it is today that we celebrate Mother's Day. Such praise, of course, should be given every day, not only to mothers, but all the special females in our lives today. Without question, I think Mother's Day is a biblical idea, though it may not be exactly a scripture in the Bible that you can say that we should be celebrating a Mother's Day, but to have it as a national holiday, I think, is a very biblical idea. Children are told to honor their mother and honor their father. They're to obey them. They're to respect them. Husbands as well. We are to love our wives, love our mothers, and respect them and cherish them. And with our wives, do you know, guys, that we are also commanded to submit to our wives? Did you know that? You know, we always go right to Ephesians chapter 5, and we go right to the obey and respect us and all that. But did you know that the Bible says, I think it's in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, that we're to submit to one another? So that goes both ways, for the men submitting to their wives and other females as well. But God has given mothers some tremendous responsibilities, and I believe that God has also, in addition to giving her those responsibilities, He's also blessed her with the capacity to fulfill and obey those responsibilities, just as it is true with any of us today. Being a mother is never been easy. It's always an extremely challenging thing. I mean, just think, guys. I mean, do you want to be the one to give birth to a baby? The labor pain itself, just bringing the child into the world, is quite an ordeal itself. But of course, there's many more things that are involved in being a mother. Motherhood is especially difficult when there is no father present. And such is the case in our story this morning, as we will talk about this widow who had no husband in the home and was given the responsibility to continue to look after her two sons. But whether we're mothers or not, we all have challenges in life, and times when we have an unmet need and when we need to look to God. And as we look at this woman's blessing here from God, we're going to find out today how you and I can strike oil, as it were, at home, as we'll see with this widow woman. So what I want to do today, as we look at these verses this morning, I want us to think about how we can get our blessing from God, how we can be able to, with using the example of this mother, to be able to strike oil at home as well. We're going to read right now in 2 Kings chapter 4. I hope you have your Bibles open there in verse 1. The three ways we're going to see that this mother struck oil at home is that she knew where to go, she knew who to go to, she knew where to go, and she knew what she had in her home in order to get that blessing from God. So let's go ahead, though, and read the text this morning in 2 Kings chapter 4 in verse 1. It says right here, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. She said, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know,' she says, 'that he revered the Lord. But,' she says, 'now his creditor is coming to take away my two sons as his slaves.'" So the mother here that's spoken of is not named. We do not know her name. And the writer of 2 Kings tells us three things about this mother. Again, she knew who to go to in her time of need. She knew where to go to. In fact, that her answer was right there at home. And thirdly, she knew what she had in her home, and that whatever she had in her home was good enough for God to use. But here we have this mother, and first of all, she knew who to go to. Now, again, we don't know much about this unnamed mother. We know that she was a widow. She came to Elisha with her problem. But the first thing that we learn about her is that she humbled herself by her husband's death. And being a widow, as we know, can be a very lonely thing. It has its own set of very unique challenges to be without a spouse. And so it presents some very unique burdens for women today, but it was especially difficult in Old Testament times. For you see, they did not have Social Security. They did not have government programs or other things. I'm not trying to downplay anyone that's a widow today, but it was even more challenging in Old Testament times. She even had, as you'll see in the story here, two boys at home that she still needed to provide for, and her husband left behind some debts. And now she is, the creditor is coming to her and is asking her to make do on those debts. But her husband was a prophet, and her husband was a revered prophet, revered by those who knew him. He had a good reputation. So she did have that going for her. So the widow is humbled by her husband's death, and she knows that she can go to Elisha, who was a prophet like her husband, who might actually be able to help her. Second thing is, she was hampered by this nagging debt. Now, we don't know how long it was after the funeral before the bill collector came and is wanting to make good on what she owes. But this woman appears to be broke, and she in fact now stands to lose her two sons. You see, according to Hebrew law in Exodus chapter 21, a creditor could take the debtor and the children as servants, but they were not to treat them like slaves. Now, the woman was afraid that, though that's the law, that in essence she'd be treated like her sons would be treated like slaves. So she expresses that concern. But there's no way that she can pay this debt and on her own, and she has nowhere to turn except Elisha. And in essence, turning to Elisha, she's turning to God. She has nowhere else to go. And so the good news in the story is that she's headed in the right direction. She's headed toward a man of God, in essence headed toward God. But she is faced with two incredible burdens, death and debt. And these two burdens come to us in life sometimes, hopefully not, but sometimes even at the same time. But this widow knew where to go, who to go to in her time of need, when her family was in need. We don't know the details about her faith, but we know that, again, she is turning to Elisha, and in essence, she is turning to God. The second thing that we find in this story is not only did she know who to go to, but she also knew where to go. She had to know something about God since her husband was in, as it says in verse 4, 1, was in the company of the prophets. But even more than that, she understood that in essence, her husband, though he was a man of God, she needed to look beyond that now because her husband was not there. She needed to look to God. And though so she decided to look to God. And how about you? I mean, where do you turn to in your time of need? Is the first thing that when you are in a troubled situation, the first thing you should do would be to pray to God? And how many of us, instead of turning to God, often in times, we'll sit down with our calculator, we'll sit down with our bank book, we'll sit down with whatever resources we have, and we first try to solve the issue on our own, and we say, oh, you know, by the way, I ought to pray as well. And it's sort of like a backup plan, you know, sort of a secondary thing that we do. This woman, instead, she turns directly to God. She has nowhere else to go anyway. But Elisha wasn't just a fellow prophet along with her husband. It says in verse 7 of our text here in chapter 4 that he was a man of God. And we're all like this. Whether we are a mother or not, you need God's help in your time of need. To help with you, some kind of difficult decision that you might need to make, whether it's daily living, some troublesome enemies that are facing you, whatever life throws at you, you're not equipped to handle it on your own. Just like this woman, you need to turn to God. And whether you realize it or not, you don't have what it takes to tackle life on your own. You think sometimes you're smart enough. You think that you're suave enough. You have the skills and the abilities to maneuver through a problem. But ultimately, like this woman, we're all without any kind of help. We need God. This woman said that she had nothing at all, it says in verse 2. And so the woman comes to Elisha because she decided to look to God. The second thing we see in this also is that she discerned that she was not empty-handed. When she took a closer look, she realized, hey, listen, I'm not empty-handed. Elisha begins to think about her problem kind of out loud in verse 2. Let's read verse 2. Elisha replied to her. He said, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? She says, your servant has nothing there at all. Except, she says, a little oil. And Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars, and don't ask for just a few. I like how Elisha says that. Let's go big, right? Don't ask for just a few. Go and get all the jars that you can get. So we asked her, though, can I help you? How can I help you? I need your input. What is it that you have, he says, in your house? You know, that's a very good question for mothers today. That's a very good question for all of us today. Yes, you've gone to God, you've prayed to God, but now what is it that you have at your disposal? What is in your house that you can add to the equation? All mothers need to understand that. All parents, all of us need to know that there's something we have to bring to the table as well, in addition to going to God. Mothers, let me ask you a question this morning, a couple questions. Do you have a husband who loves you? Do you have children who are safe in your home? Do you have food for your family? Do you have a place to live in? You see, this mother had none of these things, but she did find out that what she had, she was not empty-handed, and she discovered that the answer to her need was actually right there in her home. Yes, she went to God in prayer, but there was something in her home. She had, as it says there in the text, she had a jar of oil. That wasn't much, but it was something. And the lesson there is that when you stand in need, don't forget about the things that you already have. You know, we're kind of consumer-oriented. You know, we're after the next purchase. You know, we get something. Oh, what's the next thing we want to get? What's the next thing? But don't forget, in your pursuit of other things, the things that you already have. This woman didn't forget. Yes, she is in need of money to pay off the debtor, and she's not even realizing whatever little speck or drop or small amount of oil, she's got a jar, and there is some oil in that jar in her home. It wasn't everything, but it was something. And so really all of us today need to constantly, we sing the song, you know, count your blessings, right? Name them one by one. I wonder if we're really following that admonition in that song that we sing, constantly counting the blessings that we have. In fact, some of our burdens are caused by wanting more than we actually need. Can we confess that today? We're wanting things that we really don't even need. I didn't plan on doing this, but I want you to take your Bible right now and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll read a few verses there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. Listen to what God's word says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, oh boy, put that refrigerator magnet on your refrigerator, right? With these, with food and clothing, we shall be what? Anybody follow me out there? Content with food and clothing. Can I say it again? With food and clothing and cars and big screen TVs. Food and clothing, we shall be content. Verse 9. But those who desire to be rich, they fall into temptation. See, want riches? Oh, I want to be rich. I don't want the temptation that comes with it, right? Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into, what does he say? Many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men. Do you get the picture? Drowning? Drown men in their destruction and perdition. And you know verse 10, right? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, by which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, we don't see that side of the money equation, do we? Oh, I want to have money. I want to be rich. Oh, but none of this will get me. It won't consume me with greed. Won't get me with harmful lust. Oh, it's not going to cause me to love it and fall in love with it. I won't be pierced through with many sorrows. I'll be different. I'll know how to handle money. I'll know how to be rich. But I tell you what, it takes a special Christian to navigate through and not fall in love with money when you have lots of it. So God gives us the warning right here. But back to this woman now, this widow here, who is in need. She's got a jar of oil. She's got what she needs at home. The answer for lifting your burden actually might be right in your home, as it was with this woman. And so once you know who to go to, and you know where to go, right, in your home, things that God has given to you. My third point this morning is this. You need to now know what you have already. See, Elisha, he told this woman to ask her neighbors for as many empty jars as she could get and take the little bit of oil, I'm assuming it's a real small amount, that little bit of oil that she had from that one jar, and as she's coming in and bringing other jars are brought in, to pour that little couple drops into the next jar, into the next jar. Boy, and it was an amazing thing. What I find about this woman in the story is that, I don't know, I'm just kind of a practical-minded person. I look at it, to me in the story, it kind of gives you the idea that she got busy right away. There was no delay. There was no hesitation, no apparent doubts or any of those things. I mean, she was told to do that, and she did that right away. And imagine what her neighbors must have thought, oh, here comes the woman now. She's a widow. She's going to get into the begging business. She wants all the jars we got in our houses, right? She's going and she sends her sons out and they're collecting jars. She's just, it's like an act of desperation. But imagine what her neighbors might have thought. And is she going to take the time to explain to them what she's up to? I don't know. We don't have those details. It didn't seem to matter to her what they thought at all. She was listening to God, and she cared too much about her sons to doubt or hesitate. She gets right to work. She gets busy right away. The second thing I also see about her is that she got her family involved in this. Now, I don't know what her two sons thought about all of this, but as you see in the story, they joined in the family project right away. They worked for their mom. They worked very hard to bring those jars in. And it might have helped them that as they kept seeing them, as they were bringing jars in, that they all of a sudden noticed that, wow, that one little jar she had with oil, now she's got two and three. They see them stacked up over in the corner because that's what Elisha told her to do. All these jars now full with oil. And they're thinking, wow, let's go get some more jars, right? And man, they're out there working hard for their mom. The family did exactly what Elisha told them to do. In verse 3, it says that they went to every single neighbor and they didn't stop until they had collected every single jar, it says in verse 6, not a jar was left. The family obeyed Elisha. They did what Elisha told them to do. And this woman, she got her blessing because she was using what little she had. And after the jars were full and not another jar could be found, the woman went to Elisha seeking God's will, and as you know, Elisha told her, sell all the oil, pay off your debts, and you'll have some more money after that to live on and provide for your sons and you. Do you know that God often begins with the little that we have already, and He uses whatever little we have to His glory, whether it be a small boy's sack lunch that all of a sudden feeds 5,000 people, whether it be an ordinary stick in the hand of Moses that becomes the rod of God that parts the Red Sea, whether it be a little stone that a little shepherd boy picks up and slings and knocks down a giant. God uses whatever little we have. And mothers, no matter what you have, use it to God's glory. All of us need to do that. What little we have. Question this morning is, what do you have in your house? What is it that you have in your house that you can use to the glory of God? You know, God is not limited at all. Do you believe that today? I got some amens. God is not limited at all. But you know something? Do you know that you, the peon that you are, you can limit God, what He's going to do in your life, because of your small faith. I always say, if God is your partner, make your plans big, because we got a big God. And sometimes with our small thinking, we limit Him, our small faith. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian saints. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work, where? Within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's right. That's the God that we serve. Is God in your house today? If God is in your house today, then salvation is in your house today. If you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus as your Savior by repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, then we would encourage you to do that today. Put salvation in your heart, in your home, in your life, so that you can spend eternity with God. And if as a Christian, you have faith in your home, you, just like this woman, you have everything that you need. But do you need to turn to Jesus for salvation? If so, let's stand to sing our invitation song.